Naked I came in my mother's room, naked I return. I brought nothing into this world, I'll bring nothing from this world. You've all the bigger barns you want, in the end it adds up to nothing. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, what does a man profit? He gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul. You gain the whole world, you get the whole world. But in the end, you have nothing.
Hi friends, welcome back to our first message in our brand new series, Unless the Lord Builds the House. Like we went over last time together, this series is all about God's design for blessing in the home. And let me tell you, the home, the family is a huge deal to God. He is the one who designed it. And don't you think that the designer probably knows the best way that his design is going to function? I sure do. If you want the Lord's blessing in your home, this series is going to be a great place to start. Today, we are talking about the foundation and the frame of the home. Not an architect's plan, but God's plan. And we want Him to be the one who is building our strong foundation and framing us in with His direction and His love. You're going to need your Bible today because we are looking at a few places in Scripture where God talks about the home. Let's go together and learn how He builds the house. Here's Pastor Robbie.
Israel was a global superpower under Solomon with the Lord. But then Solomon got distracted. Solomon got greedy. Solomon got filled with lust. Solomon started to build without the Lord. And devastation set in and disaster struck. Because unless the Lord builds, those who labor will labor in vain. It was Adam in Genesis 2 who was entrusted with a garden to keep. A garden to keep with the Lord. Let me speak to the men here just for a second. Love to do that. Men, we have been entrusted with a garden to keep and a home to build with the Lord. Only in the Lord. You try to keep that garden on your own. You try to build that house on your own. It's not going to happen. You might accomplish things the world applauds. God will not be applauding. I think every man has to stand in the doorway of his house and has to understand, spiritually speaking, and to say out loud, unless the Lord builds this house, I will labor in vain. God, I need you to build this house. I need you to be the one and the one, the only one who can build this house. I'm telling you, so many of us are so busy building. We're so busy building, we've forgotten the Lord entirely. So many of us are so busy actively building whatever it is around us. All the distractions and all the things of the world, and some of them aren't even bad, but we're so busy with things around us, we've actually left God behind. That is a total failure. Because unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. But I want us to all see very clearly here, okay? We are all in the construction business, every single one of us. We are all building our lives. We all have received from God a stewardship of building our lives. The question becomes, under the stewardship of the construction we've been entrusted with, who's the architect? Who's the contractor? What are we even building? What are we building towards? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of this construction? Incredibly important questions to be able to ask and answer. What are we building and why? Over the Christmas break, I read a biography on the Vanderbilt family, one of America's all-time wealthiest families. It's very interesting. They had an obscene amount of money and an insane amount of luxury houses and possessions. It's really, really interesting to see the rise and fall, the triumph and tragedy in so many ways. Again, within a family that has, again, has so much. One of the stories within this was Cornelius Vanderbilt II. He was led to build a summer home. You can call it a cottage. I want to put a picture of the cottage on the screen for you right here. This is this is the cottage. Maybe some of you actually have been there. This is in Newport, Rhode Island. 62,000 square feet. 62,000 square feet. Summer cottage. Not bad. Footprint. The footprint of the house covers an acre. Just think about that. The footprint covers an acre. As I said, built by Cornelius Vanderbilt II, it was started in 1893, I believe it finished in 1895. Cornelius II, he was able to enjoy it for 4 years. He died of a stroke at the age of 55, 1899. Only 4 years after it was built. The house, as one author says, stands to this day. It stands as a temple to excess. Stands as a temple to excess. Unless the Lord builds the house. I mean, in the end, right, you have these people who do these things and whatever, and whether it's this, you know, major example or our little examples in our lives. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Cornelius Vanderbilt II, he's age 55. He dies of a stroke. Suddenly he stands before God and he stands naked. Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I shall leave. We live in a time of full out obsession with physical homes and possessions. It's very important for us to take stock of the time, the effort, the stress, the resources, and the ostentation that so often surrounds us. It's so interesting too, right? I wrote this section on Tuesday of this week. And then you wake up Wednesday and you see the fires raging through Los Angeles. And you're just like, you're looking, and how many people, they were themselves on Tuesday and then they wake up Wednesday. And in this particular case, the, you know, immense amount of wealth and others. But you're just like, it's such a powerful reminder. My heart breaks for all that's happening there. How devastating that would be for any of us at any level. But it's such a powerful reminder to say, at the end of the day, what are we living for? Because it's here when there's so many people in these situations, everything they live for was built up in this thing. And then the fire comes and it's gone. A lot of them don't have insurance. And then you're like, well, what the heck is happening now? All of a sudden, all of life is brought to ashes. Which, by the way, the Bible tells us that it's all going to burn. And so for us then, it's the wisdom of saying, what am I living for? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor, labor in vain. If it's not with the Lord, it's not anything. You can have 50, 60, 80, 90 years of all this opulence, but in the end, it's just you. See, this is where wisdom comes in. And for us to look around and say, what am I doing? Why am I living? What is the purpose of my life? And what am I actually trying to go for? We are 100% dependent upon the Lord. Do you remember the story of Mr. and Mrs. Thing? This needs to be read at least once a year. I think it's been way too long since we've read this. The story of Mr. and Mrs. Thing goes like this. Mr. and Mrs. Thing are a very pleasant and successful couple. At least that's the verdict of most people who tend to measure success with a thingometer. When the thingometer is put to work in the life of Mr. and Mrs. Thing, the result is startling. There he is sitting down on a very luxurious and expensive thing, almost hidden by a large number of other things. Things to sit on, things to sit at, things to cook on, things to eat from, all shiny and new. Things, things, things. Things to clean with, things to wash with. Things to clean and things to wash. Things to amuse, things to give pleasure, things to watch and things to play. Things for the long hot summer, things for the cold, in our case, long and winter. Things for the big thing in which they live. Things for the garden, things for the lounge, things for the kitchen, things for the bedroom, and things on four wheels, and things on two wheels, and things to put on top of the things on four wheels, and things to pull behind the four wheels, and things to add to the interior of the thing on four wheels. Things, things, things. And there in the middle are Mr. and Mrs. Thing, smiling and pleased as pink with their things, thinking of more things to add to their things, secure in the castle, in their castle of things. What I just want you to know, their things can't last. They're going to pass. There's going to be an end to them. Maybe an error in judgment, maybe a temporary loss of concentration, or maybe you'll just pass them off to the secondhand thing dealer. Or maybe they'll wind up as a mass of mangled metal being towed off to the thing yard. And what about all the things in your house? Well, it's time for bed, put up the cat, and make sure you lock your door and make sure some thing taker doesn't come and take your things. And that's the way life goes, doesn't it? And someday when you die, they only put one thing in the box, you. Again, Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. Paul in 1 Timothy, he says, I brought nothing into this world, I will bring nothing from this world. What is this called? It's called wisdom. The Lord must build my house. Because if the Lord is not building my house, in the end, there's nothing I have to show. We transition now. Without the Lord, everything is in vain. Here's the question, though, that I want to ask as we move towards the completion of the message. What then does the house that the Lord builds look like? When the Lord builds the house, what do we know to be true? I have four things I've written down. When the Lord builds the house, here's how we know. When the Lord builds the house on the screen beside me or behind me, number one, when the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ, 100%. When the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, I'm going to do most of the work for you as we turn to these passages on the screen for you. At the end, I'm going to ask you to turn. You better not be lazy, okay? 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of life. Jesus Christ is the foundation of eternal life. So listen to this, ready? Every single home the Lord builds, every single one, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Only this foundation is eternal. That's exactly why at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus again teaches in Matthew 7, verse 24, we all know it. The parable of the man who built on sand versus the man who built on rock. The man who builds on the rock, the storms will come, the house will stand. The rock is Jesus Christ. Only the foundation of Jesus Christ will withstand the storms of life. Only the foundation of Jesus Christ will withstand the storms of judgment. I'll say it again. Every single house the Lord builds, the foundation is Jesus Christ. And in the end, that's the only thing that matters. So question, is your foundation Jesus Christ? Is your foundation truly Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you've heard of this foundation. I'm not asking if you could even describe this foundation. I'm asking, is he your foundation? Is he personally and relationally and actively and supernaturally your foundation of everlasting life? Because every single home or house the Lord builds, the foundation is 100% of the time Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not our foundation, then everything we're doing will be in vain. You make the foundation Jesus Christ in your life for all of eternity by believing in him for the savior of your sins, by giving your life to him and believing in him by grace through faith. Jesus Christ, you are Lord and you are Savior. And I give my life to you. I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead, defeating again sin and death and Satan forever. You are the Lord. I love you. I give my life to you. You now are the one who is the foundation of my entire life. When someone does that sincerely by faith, then they are saved. They are saved, they will never die again, and Jesus Christ is their foundation. Listen, when the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Secondly, when the Lord builds the house, the frame is wisdom. The frame is wisdom. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 on the screen for you, take a look. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, by wisdom a house is built. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, listen, the rooms are filled with all pleasant and precious, again, or precious and pleasant riches. Amazing here. I love these verses so much. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. My heart delights in such truth. Listen, like look at this verse, stare at this verse, meditate for a few seconds on this verse, and understand, right? Don't ever underestimate the value of wisdom in your life. In this case, your home, your house is built on wisdom. That should get your attention. By wisdom, a house is built. You see, we must understand, and when we see and understand, that is wisdom itself, right? We must see and understand that wisdom knows this affects every word I speak, every thought I think, and every action I take. Wisdom affects everything I do. So imagine a home filled with the wisdom of God. A home filled with the wisdom of God is a house being built by God. The power of wisdom. God, I want to know your wisdom. I want to be led in your wisdom. But imagine the opposite. A house of foolishness is a home of chaos and conflict. You are rejecting God's wisdom. You are rejecting God's will. You are rejecting, therefore, God's blessing. And no wonder there's chaos and conflict and division and pain and hurt. No wonder. Wisdom saves us from so much unnecessary pain, conflict, and hurt. It's no surprise as elders and pastors over 20 years of ministry here, the most difficult situations we face by far are marriage and family conflict. So difficult, so complex. So confusing, so devastated by sin. The husband that somehow thinks his affair will be blessed. You idiot. Like seriously though, they convince themselves, I will be blessed as I pursue sin. You are an idiot. You, how did you come to that conclusion? Because your sin overrides any sense of what the Bible teaches on the basics of understanding of purity, integrity, and godliness in Jesus Christ. So you come up with this plan. I'm going to have an affair on my wife, pursue adultery, and I will be blessed in the end. Yeah, just, I don't have categories for such, again, idiocy. I'm sorry. What else do you want me to call it? It just drives me insane. God, save us and help us. As the power of the flesh and the deception of Satan starts to override what we know to be wrong, and just pathways of. I mean, how much does Proverbs itself detail the path of this? Proverbs 5:7, half of Proverbs 6, just detailing the destruction that awaits such moves. The wife who will only blame and criticize and condemn her husband. She will not take any responsibility for anything. She just stands in judgment and resentment and criticism and condemnation and blame. The young adult who pursues a pornographic addiction and utter slothfulness. All of this is foolishness. It'll never build a house. It just tears one apart. It will never build a house. Like I could go on with like 40 other examples of foolishness. Like, let me just say, like if you're in the process of such a path, it will never build up. It will only tear down. Because that's what God says. And this is what we know to be true. And we gotta stop being so dumb and to look to the Lord. And to say, God, your will is the greatest will. Your wisdom is always right and always blessed. I don't want to be an absolute fool. Listen, the ways of God just work. That's why one of my favorite verses in Proverbs is Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is this. I mean, that gets my attention. The beginning of wisdom is this, and maybe it's not the one that you're thinking of. In this sense, the beginning of wisdom is this. What is it? Get wisdom. Get wisdom. I love that. You love that? I love that. I want to be wise. Then you want to be wiser. The beginning of wisdom is the man or woman or child who wants wisdom. When they are wise, they are blessed. How do you know you're growing in wisdom? You want more wisdom. Isn't that awesome? So basic. So wonderful. So simple. yet not easy, yet so able in God. The beginning of wisdom is the desire for more wisdom. I want you to notice in Proverbs 24, verse 4, 2, maybe we can put that back up on the screen for a second. I want you to notice there, by wisdom a house is built, understanding is established. Notice this, the knowledge of the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So we learn here that wisdom provides the structure of the house, but the second part of that, wisdom also provides the decor. The rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches, beautiful. Blessing of a home filled with wisdom. It's filled with the fruit of the Spirit, just so glorious. The foundation is Christ. The frame is wisdom. Thirdly, we see the focus is righteousness. The focus, when the Lord builds a house, the focus is righteousness. Proverbs 3, verse 33 on the screen for you. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Straight up, the Lord blesses the pursuit of righteousness. Matthew 5, 6, Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hey. The Lord blesses the pursuit of righteousness. You know what I love here? I love it's not about the size of your home. It's not about the neighborhood you live in. It's not about your newly renovated kitchen. It has nothing to do with that. The blessing of the home is for those who are in serious pursuit of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the blessing, and the favor of God is found in him. I think of when you start to think of this kind of idea of house and home according to scripture and building, you start to have many different verses that come to mind. I was, you know, meditating on this and thinking this weekend, and you think of Luke chapter 12, and Jesus tells the parable of the man who has so much stuff, and he has so much stuff, so he goes and builds bigger barns. And I'll relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But then that night he dies, Jesus says, and his soul is required of him. And God calls him a fool. Fool, this night your soul's required of you, and the things you've stored up, whose will they be? Build bigger barns, and yet at the end of the day, he dies and he stands naked in judgment before God. Naked I came in my mother's womb, naked I return. I brought nothing into this world, I'll bring nothing from this world. You have all the bigger barns you want. In the end, it adds up to nothing. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, what does a man profit? He gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul. You gain the whole world. You got the whole world. But in the end, you have nothing. Because only the righteousness of Jesus Christ matters. The blessing of the Lord is on the home that loves him. I mean, if you want to put it as simply as you can, the blessing of the Lord is on the home that loves him. I want you to see this progression here just for a second again as we're learning here. When the Lord builds the house, wisdom is so massive. Righteousness, see, wisdom says righteousness, like righteousness of Christ, but holiness in Christ as well. Wisdom says, I'm not gonna sin. Wisdom says, I'm gonna go for righteousness. And then those who pursue righteousness are those who are blessed. They find the blessing and satisfaction of God. Wisdom in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Wisdom leads to righteousness, and then righteousness leads to blessing. This is what the Lord is promising to us again today. The house of righteousness in Christ, then the desire for godliness from our lives. When the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Christ, the frame is wisdom, the focus is righteousness. Lastly and finally, we end with this, the future is certain, or you could say the future is glory. The future is glory. I want you to turn with me to John 14. Turn with me to John 14, please. And we just end with this passage here. Let me hear some pages turning, please. That would be so good. John 14, verse 1. The future is certain, the future is glory. When the Lord builds the house. So now, like, the word house is gonna pop, home's gonna pop. Like, that's what happens when we're on this theme now. This will just be brief. John 14, verse 1. Jesus says this. Who's this for today? John 14, 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen, I will come again, Jesus says, and I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. Man, when the Lord builds a house and you belong to him, your future is certain and your future is glory. Your future is guaranteed to be the house of the Father. I mean, you want to talk about mansions. Can you imagine the mansion of the Father? Can you imagine the beauty of that place? Can you imagine what that will be like in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, seeing Jesus Christ face to face? Man, imagine that. Imagine how good that will be, how powerful that will be. But listen, listen. The future of glory is guaranteed for those that are in the Lord. But this is not possible. Listen, it is not possible to have a future of heaven and glory unless the Lord builds the house. If the Lord has not built the house, the future is not going to be glory. The future is going to be death. But when the Lord builds the house, the future is absolutely certain. Let me just ask you this question as we end this message. Have you been trying to build your house apart from the Lord? Seriously. Have you been trying to build your house apart from the Lord? In your strength, in your wisdom, in your desires, in your appetites, in your timing, in your pleasure, in your idol. Have we been trying to build a house apart from the Lord? If we do, we are laboring in vain. It'll be worthless and futile in the end. The ultimate message today is the Lord must build my house. We have the opportunity to surrender our homes again afresh today to the Lord. Lord, help us in this. Amen, church? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We do not want to labor in vain. I pray for men, women, and children today that they would know 100% that the Lord is building their house. I pray for all those today who have not surrendered to the Lord. We have been building our homes apart from God, his grace, his strength, his wisdom. I pray today is a day of fresh resurrender, of resurrender to the Lord, to say, Father, you must be the builder. Yahweh, you are the only one who can build ultimately. And we join you in that desire, in that pathway today. And God, I beg you to speak through the men today who are so hunger for pleasure, materials, and riches. I pray instead they would hunger for righteousness in Jesus Christ. I pray for the women today that are obsessed with beauty and clothing and appearance and status. I pray instead they would be obsessed with Jesus Christ and his blood and righteousness and his love. I pray for children today that are obsessed with reputation and temporal stuff and the desire to be liked by others. I pray instead they would be so desirous of knowing that Jesus Christ is their first and last, that he is the one building their lives. He is the one building their homes. He is the one that will cause them to have an everlasting and sure foundation. Yes, Lord. May our hope be built on Jesus Christ alone. We pray this now, and we pray that you will lead and bless this entire series. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here, and without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give, or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light.